Lutenist Jakob Lindberg played music of Jan Antonin Lozzi, suite in B flat, collected from the various scattered and published works of this aristocratic cardinal of the 17th century. The album is called Notes of Gold or Note d'Oro. You're listening to Classical WMUK. I'm Kara Laurence. The time is 21 minutes past 10 o'clock. As I mentioned about 10 minutes ago, this hour we're going to preview what's going on with the Kalamazoo Film Society once again. It's been a few weeks since I checked in with President Dara Strauss and longtime member Madeline Cimini, and both of them are on the line with me right now here on 89.9. Welcome to you both, Dara and Madeline. Good to hear you again.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Good morning. Thank you.
So let's start off with what has changed in the last few weeks since I last spoke to you. I believe that last month theaters were still under lockdown and closed, and some things have changed in that regard.
They have. The Celebration actually opened its doors last Friday with, of course, a lot of different coronavirus parameters. They encourage people to buy the tickets online, to order their food online. They have done and are continuing to do deep cleaning. And Madeline and I have both actually been in the theater, so she might want to talk about some of the things there too.
Were you nervous or concerned about going back to the theater?
I would say, I don't want to say wary or concerned, but there were some neurons saying, pay attention. I went and there weren't a lot of people there, which was good. And everyone wore masks. There were, social distancing markers and rules in place. And then I was comforted because I was only one of three people in the theater. But that was a concern of mine, and I was glad to see that Celebration has done as much as they can. But it is still, an issue, and with numbers going up now, it will be more of an issue for me.
Well, yeah, I felt the same as Madeline. I did notice as soon as I got my tickets online that they blocked off the seats next to us, so that they're really on top of that. I also elected, and my husband and I elected not to eat any popcorn, which is really hard for me because that's one of my favorite food groups. But we kept our masks on the whole time during the film, and actually I did not feel uncomfortable doing that. I'm glad that we did that.
And was it also a wonderful thing to be back in the darkened cavern of a theater?
And I found it, yes. I'm sorry. That was the emotional component for me. Last spring, one of the very last things I did, I had a health issue that I was trying to figure out what was going on. My brother on the other side of the state was rushed to cardiac care. What did I do? I went to see a Pixar film. And for those 2 hours, the things that I was worrying about, as well as what was going on with the coronavirus, that was gone. So since then, the movies I've seen, I'm sitting at home with my cat on my lap, or I'll pause and walk around and do something and then check it. So there was an emotional component to me that overrode the concern I had about, well, what's going on? It was like being home again. And it was wonderful to see the big Kalamazoo Film Society logo come on before On the Rocks. And I could feel my heart pound a little bit.
that's lovely. I agree. I didn't realize until I was in the movie theater and the big screen and the awesome sound that how much I had missed it. And when that happened, it was like, oh, yes, I have really missed this. So we both saw On the Rocks. It's one of the two films that the Kalamazoo Film Society opened up Celebration's opening with. And it's there at least until next Thursday, the 29th of October. It's a new film directed by Sofia Coppola and has Bill Murray, Rashida Jones, and Marlon Wagons in it. And I think Madeline saw it too, right, Madeline?
Yes, I did. And I liked it. I thought it was mildly amusing or amusing, but part of it was just colored by feeling, oh, this is where I should see movies, you know, on a big screen. But that being said, Sofia Coppola, you know, has been around for 20-some years, and I think it was interesting. Bill Murray portrays a womanizing, self-centered art dealer, and he changes that behavior when his daughter, Rashida Jones, thinks that her husband, Marlon Wayans, is having an affair. And it's interesting to see how he wants to protect her, but he's still that womanizing, self-serving, with a certain charm, person. And there are some screwball moments, if you like the films of the screwball comedies of the 30s and 40s. There are moments of like that. And two of the most exquisitely beautiful children I've ever seen in my life, with like a wonderful laugh. But I would say it is Bill Murray's film. And he's Bill Murray.
Right.
With a certain charm, a little bit of smarminess maybe even. But he puts that aside to protect his daughter, even as he acknowledges to her his failings as a husband and father.
We are talking about the story of the film On the Rocks, if you've just joined us, and the films that are at Celebration offered by the Kalamazoo Film Society are online at calfilmsociety.net. You'll see a description of the films, their running times, and again, I'm talking with Dara Strauss and Madeline Cimini, who gave us the news that theaters opened last Friday, and it feels pretty good to go back to a theater and watch a film maybe the way it should be seen. I know that at home I have such a hard time not reaching for my phone for terrible reasons during films. I suddenly get distracted thinking about my phone sitting there. And that's one reason I would love to go back to the theaters and put my whole concentration on something.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. And that's exactly what I felt about going to see On the Rocks, is that it took me out of my mind for a while. Without everything else, all the other worries that are going on right now. And I could just spend, you know, an hour and a half there immersed in this story. And if people remember, so Sofia Coppola also did Lost in Translation, and that was also with Bill Murray. So she's had a long history of filmmaking with him.
She's made a lot of different kinds of films. None of them have been boring or uninteresting. She just has a unique perspective, it seems to me. And this is another in her list of interesting human stories.
I agree. I remember seeing her as an actress in The Godfather 3. Yeah. And I thought to myself, oh, this is a shame. Just because she's Francis Ford Coppola's daughter, da-da-da-da-da. And bless her heart, she realized it as well. And then she made The Virgin Suicide. And it's like, well, this woman does have a talent. And there was a very long interview with her in IndieWire, And what struck me is just how grounded she is about things. And the fact that some of this, well, the movie was filmed last year, and with everything that has gone on this year, what she would have changed. And I appreciated her even more after reading that.
Showtimes for On the Rocks are available through a link on the Kalamazoo Film Society webpage, calfilmsociety.net. And I'm looking at the page right now. The Trial of the Chicago 7 is also a film you've embraced and will be having an online discussion about tomorrow. Is that right? Dara, maybe you can tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, that's right. It was, again, another film at the celebration, but and it's there only through tomorrow, but it's also available on Netflix. And we purposely chose a film to discuss that we could see both places in the mm-hmm. cinema and also through a streaming network. Why we chose The Trial of the Chicago 7. It's written and directed by Aaron Sorkin, who also wrote A Few Good Men and directed West Wing, if people remember that wonderful TV series.
I watched it last night, Dara, and it's I guess I was completely in for the ride, because it is a ride. There's so much to tell about a 6-month trial in 2 hours, you know, and I think for a lot of us, the events of the Democratic Convention in August of 68, was it? It's a bit, it's kind of hazy, and this was vivid.
Yeah,
I was going to just jump in and say that I was in metropolitan Detroit in junior high and high school about that time, and that's where my political consciousness developed, and I had forgotten some of the things. I forgot how circus-like the atmosphere with Judge Julius Hoffman, who I think Frank Langella portrays him just amazingly. And how the movement was driven by big egos, as well as people whose sense of commitment, you know, their egos match their sense of commitment, or their sense of commitment match their egos. But the kind of smart, rapid-paced dialogue, but interwoven, there are some archival films of what was going on in Chicago at the time. And Fred Hampton, who was murdered by the police, that's a name that not very many people are aware of, but there is a film coming out about his life and his death. But you're right. As you alluded to, some of those are foggy, but I had forgotten the circus-like atmosphere that took place in the courthouse at times.
Dara,
on both
I was wondering, Dara, if you admired the screenplay for the fact that Sorkin managed to distill a long series of events into a 2-hour film.
Right. I was really impressed that how the story flowed, that you didn't get lost. It's told chronologically, but it doesn't go into rabbit holes, you know. And it portrays all of the people that were really there. I thought that all the actors who are portraying them, and it is not a documentary. It is a written film, but I think it's done extremely, extremely well. And, I'm probably older than both of you, and I was, I don't remember the event, so it's great to have it back again. And I think it's going to really go be for a great discussion on Thursday night. This is our virtual lobby, which we started several months ago when we gather people. Anyone can join us for discussing a certain film. We're led by a couple of board members of the Film Society. Anyone can join. You do not have to be a member of the Kalamazoo Film Society. If you do want to join us, it's via Zoom. You can just email us at calfilmsociety@yahoo.com, and we'll be glad to send you the Zoom link. It is this Thursday, that's tomorrow, at 7 p.m. And we usually keep it to about an hour and 15 minutes, but we have great people that lead the discussions. We talk from everything about the story itself to a history of some of the actors and directors and what they've done. It's very educational and can get very, very lively, too.
We're just getting a little taste this morning, but the virtual lobby full event is tomorrow at 7 p.m., and you will need a Zoom link to participate. So, as Dara said, send an email to calfilmsociety@yahoo.com. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. We've sent that link out to all of our members. So that's another way that if you're not a member, you can become a member.
Sure.
And, and that way you're always up on all the news. We also send out, the information when the films are in the theater, too.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to announce at this time, or shall we just check in again in another few weeks?
This is Madeline again. May I just add one thing about the Chicago 7? Mm. Evidently, Aaron Sorkin has been working on this for about 10 years. And I just think it's so relevant today and some of the things that happened, some of what we're worried about. And I bet 5 years ago, he's probably grousing, oh, why can't I get this done, da-da-da-da-da. I think the timing is so appropriate for 2020. So it was worth the wait.
That's right, Madeline. There's a change of administration and a new attitude toward punishing the Chicago 7 that starts this off. That's sort of like, hey, current events sometimes. Yeah. Well, I guess if there's nothing else, I will let everyone know once again, details are at calfilmsociety.net. Any final thoughts, Dara Strauss?
No, I'm glad that Madeline added that about the Chicago 7, so that'll just add even more, I think, to our discussion tomorrow night. We are being in touch with Celebration about upcoming films, and we're very excited about them, but we can't quite say yet because we want to make sure that when we do announce them that they are actually there. But we'll be back in touch with you and to let everyone know.
Aunt Madeline, anything else to add?
No, just hope to see you at the movies. I think when we met, I told you I was an emotional film goer. Well, this never did I think when I said that there would be a different emotion connected to going to a movie. And that was going to a movie.
Just the simple act of going.
The simple act, exactly, exactly. The smell of the popcorn.
Well, I think, let's check in again in a few weeks and let's keep our fingers crossed that COVID-19 can be tamped down again during these critical months and we can possibly meet at the movies. Thanks so much, Dara and Madeline.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I thought I would finish up here with music by Tan Dunn, whose film score for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was significant. It included a really important, prominent classical artist, Yo-Yo Ma, joined with the Shanghai Symphony Orchestra. And this was an independent film that really became a big gateway for independent film and foreign film in American theaters. Let's give Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon a little listen.